if you and I live through tonight, we are going to meet a brand new day tomorrow. Now that's important. And the reason it's important is this, because there are many new things that you and I are going to experience, aren't we? There's going to be new experiences. There's going to be new challenges that we take on. There's going to be many opportunities that are brand new unto us. We're going to come across new people that we're going to meet for the very first time. It may be the only time that we meet them, and it may be that those new individuals become some of our best friends over the course of the next several years. Now, the reality is this. When you and I arise, most of the time we really don't have a plan as to how we're going to meet the day. I would refer to us more as reactionaries, aren't we? We get up and we don't know what's going to happen, and so we just kind of react to whatever comes our way. And if the reality is known, sometimes we do not react exactly the way we need to as God's children. What we need to have are what I refer to as some rules for daily living. That's the title of tonight's lesson. When you and I wake up every morning, there are some things that you and I need to tell ourselves. There are some things that you and I need to make up our minds about. And if you and I will develop just a few rules for daily living, it is going to make our lives more productive, more beneficial, more happy, both to ourselves and to other individuals with whom we come in contact. Tonight I want to talk to you about 7 rules for daily living. Rule number 1. Folks, every morning when your eyes pop open, one of the things that you ought to do is pray a prayer of thanksgiving unto the Almighty God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let me ask you a question. Do we have much to be thankful for? Oh, absolutely. Just for the fact that you and I have lived to see another day is a blessing, is it not? Folks, you and I have the opportunity today to go out and spread our Christian influence throughout the entirety of the world. We have the ability to experience all of those new things that we talked about earlier that God is going to put in our lives that can make us much better individuals. God, thank you for a beautiful day that you've given me. Another thing that we have to be thankful for are all of the necessities and the luxuries of this world. Folks, I've been into some third world countries. Many of you have as well. And guess what they don't have? They do not have hot water. You see, for us, we just get up and we're tickled to death that we have hot water, or we expect it, don't we? If you turn on the hot water and it doesn't come on, I'm afraid you're going to be just a tad angry. And if all of us every day had to take a cold shower, how would you like that? Not a one of us would like that. Folks, you see, that is really a luxury that you and I have, and yet we think of it as a what? As an absolute necessity, but yet we have it, don't we? Another thing that we have is you and I are children of the living God. Folks, you and I have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, have we not? There are billions and billions of individuals on this planet who do not even truly know what it means to be a Christian. Those individuals, many of them are not even aware that they are in their sins and in their transgressions. And here you and I are, have heard the truth, and not only have heard it, but we have obeyed the truth, and God, through the blood of Jesus, has completely cleansed us from all iniquity and all transgression. What a blessing that is ours to enjoy. And fourthly, we have friends, and we have family, and we have people close to us who love us and care for us, who think we're special individuals, individuals who put our needs and our necessities even before their own oftentimes, individuals who, if we have a problem, we can pick up the phone and we can call them immediately and they'll be right there at our aid. Folks, these are wonderful blessings that I'm talking about. And the minute that you and I wake up, we need to look at that ceiling, we need to close our eyes, and we need to say, thank God for all the things that He's given unto me. I want you to think about what that does in two ways. Number one, it immediately focuses me upon the Father which is in heaven. Is there any better way to start a day than by thinking about God? Not long ago, I was reading a book and it said this: the greatest thought that a man can think is God. And that's true, isn't it? The most supreme being that there is in the entirety of the world. And the minute we wake up, immediately we go into the presence of the Almighty. And secondly, when I thank Him for my blessings, folks, what I'm really saying is this: God, I stand in need of You. You've blessed me. You've provided all of these things for me. And for all of this, I am grateful. But I stand in need of You today. Honoring the God of heaven and letting Him know that you stand in need of all of His blessings. There's no better way to start a day. Rule number two. You and I need to start every day with a positive attitude. There are tons of passages of Scripture that talk about our having a good attitude. Did you know that? I've just listed a couple of them for you. One of them is in Psalm 118, verse 24. The psalmist said this: this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will be a nag and just murmur and complain in it. That's a mistranslation, isn't it? This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Folks, that's what we ought to be doing. You see, that's a positive attitude toward the day that we're about to have. Another passage of Scripture, one talking about our capabilities and our abilities. And it says this: I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4, verse 13. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39 says this: for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Think about those passages of Scripture. I have this day because God has given it to me. Whatever comes my way, if Jesus is on my side, I can do all things through Him because He is my strength. And regardless of who comes into my life, there is absolutely no one who can separate me from the love of the Almighty God. Wow. Those are the kind of passages you and I need to live with every day. I looked up that little word, attitude. Have you ever really looked up the word to define it? It comes from a word that means this: posture or position. That makes sense, doesn't it? Your attitude is the posture. Your attitude is the position that you take toward things that come into your life, isn't it? And the reality is this: when I awake every morning, I can choose my attitude. And basically, there are two attitudes that I can choose to approach life with. One of them is this one: a bad attitude. Folks, there's people who wake up and they leave their house just like this guy right here. They can't even get out of their driveway without hollering and screaming at somebody. They're angry, they're upset, they're mad, they're negative. It's a terrible day. I wish I could go back to sleep. I wish I could get up on the other side of the bed, and they need to. Unbelievable. And then there's other individuals who have a positive attitude, don't they? Everything is wonderful. Everything is great. Everything is fantastic. It's a wonderful day. God is with me. God has blessed me. This is a new day, and I'm ready to face the challenges. Let come whatever comes, I will remain positive during this day. Folks, when you and I wake up, we need to answer this question. How will I approach this day? And you see, it's a matter of choice, is it not? I'm either going to be positive or I'm going to be negative. One of the two. There was a man at the Eastwood congregation. He had a lot of health problems. And every morning when he would arise, it would take him about 3 or so hours just to even begin to feel good. It'd take him about 5 to 10 minutes to walk up the driveway, walk in the door, and come into my office. One day he walks in and I said, "Gene, how are you doing?" He said, "I have chosen to feel good from now on." I'd ask him that every day for the next month. And guess what? Every day, I'm choosing to feel good. And not get up and complain, not get up and gripe, not get up and moan and groan about all the bad things in life. He said, "I've chosen to get up and have a good attitude about life." And he says, "Wow, what a difference that it's made." Point number three, or rule number three. Folks, you and I need to get up in the morning, and before we walk out the door, we need to tell ourselves, "I will be kind to other people." Does the Bible have anything to say about kindness? Sure. It has a lot to say about kindness, folks. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says this, "Charity suffereth long and is kind." If I really claim to be a person who loves other individuals, guess what? I'm going to manifest kindness toward those individuals. Paul says in Ephesians 4 verse 32, "And be ye kind one toward another." We turn to Proverbs 31 verse 26. There's a description there of a woman that is known to us as the virtuous woman. And that particular chapter describes this lady, and it says this, "In her mouth is the law of kindness," or "in her mouth is the law of wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." If I'm going to be a Proverbs 31 woman, and I'm not talking about me, but I'm talking about the ladies, guess what? I'm going to get up, and every day I'm going to make certain that my mouth, my tongue, my lips, whatever proceeds out of my mouth is going to be kind toward other people. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies," watch this, "kindness, lowliness of mind, meekness, long suffering." Folks, the Apostle Paul exhorts us to be kind individuals to other people. And you know, it really doesn't take a lot to be kind to someone, does it? Sometimes it's just simple little things that you and I can do that show kindness. Traffic's busy. It looks like I might be a minute late to work. And I ain't letting nobody in. Just be kind. Let that person into the line. Some people think they always have to honk their horn. I get sick of that. Guys, you don't have to honk your horn at every person. "Oh, yes, I do. It just makes me feel good." be kind to that individual. Not only do they have to not let them in, honk their horn when they get in, they got to circle around them and they got to give them a good going over when they pass them. Just be kind. Look at another individual and just smile at them, folks. A smile is one of the biggest acts of kindness that you and I can involve ourselves in. Did you know that? Nod your head. Tell someone good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Just little simple things. Open a door for someone. Just be nice to other people. What about patience? Just a little patience. You know, not everybody's good as you are. You know that? They're not as talented. They're not as smart. They're not as good looking. Because you see, you think of yourself, if I were in that position, it would be different. If I was cashier at Walmart. Ain't that right? You just walk away thinking, how could she be so dumb? You've been there for 30 minutes getting checked out. Just be what? Just be patient. If you've got to rush into Walmart and rush out of Walmart, don't go. It's pretty easy, isn't it? And here's another thing that's kind. Forgive people. Have you ever met a perfect person? I've never met one. Get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and guess what? You always look at what? An imperfect individual who's made mistakes, who's committed error, who's transgressed the will of God. And guess what he stands in need of? I stand in need of the forgiveness of the Almighty God, don't I? And guess what God gives me? God gives me forgiveness, doesn't he? And one of the greatest acts of kindness that you and I can bestow upon another individual is forgive them of any wrongs that they've committed against you. I looked up some quotes about kindness. Here's just two or three. No act of kindness, no matter how small, is wasted. That's what Jesus said too, isn't it? Just a what? A cup of cold water, he says. No act is wasted. Notice this next one. You can accomplish by kindness what you cannot by force. Folks, there's some things you can't force people to do, but guess what? Out of kindness, they will yield to what you desire for them to do. And watch this last one. The end result of kindness is that it draws people to you. Just be kind. Now think about what we said so far. Would just these three things make a huge difference in your life? Get up in the morning and pray to God a prayer of thanksgiving. Make up your mind immediately, before I get out of bed, I'm going to have a positive attitude about this day. And number three, when I leave my house, anybody that I come in contact with, I will be kind to them. You'd radically alter your world and other people's world as well. Just those three things. But rule number four, we need to learn to control ourselves, don't we? There's numerous passages of Scripture that talk about self-control. The King James Version uses the word temperance when it talks about self-control oftentimes. That passage in Proverbs 25:28 says this, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Folks, a city broken down and without walls is useless. A man who has no control over his spirit is a useless individual. He is absolutely no good to anyone. Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control. Boy, we could spend a whole lot of time right here, couldn't we? Folks, there's at least three things that you and I must get control over. And I'm only going to mention them very, very briefly. Number one, our desires and passions. Especially those desires and passions that are of a sinful nature. Got to get control of those. Secondly, I must get control of my emotions, especially my anger. And thirdly, I must be able to gain control of my little bitty tongue that does huge amounts of damage. The Bible says it's a fire, a world of iniquity. And you and I have to learn how to bridle our tongues, don't we? There's two examples in the Bible of individuals who either lacked self-control or had self-control that I want to make mention of just briefly. One of them was a man by the name of Saul. Poor Saul. We've been on him pretty hard today, haven't we? But King Saul had some problems, folks. And one of the problems that Saul had was he had very little control of his anger, especially when it came to the kingdom and David. Can you imagine two times a man picking up a javelin and throwing it, trying to pin a man against a wall? All because he's angry. That was the man David, wasn't it? But there was another man that he tried to kill as well, and he did the same thing to him. Took a javelin and threw it at him, trying to kill him. And that was his own son by the name of Jonathan. I've been mad at my kids. They ain't never wanted to throw a javelin at them. Have you? Can you imagine after he's thrown that javelin, what if he'd hit Jonathan? What if he had pinned him against the wall? And now you're looking at a dead son because of your anger, because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 20 verse 30, and Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. You see what anger can do? It can cause us to do things that we do not need to do. It can cause us to say things we do not need to say. It can cause us to commit sins that we do not need to commit. When I walk out my door, I need to tell myself I'm going to have full, total control over what I do today. And I'm going to bring it into control of the will of the Almighty God. Now there's another example we could talk about, and that's Jesus. In Mark the 15th chapter, Jesus is standing in the Jewish judgment hall. The Roman judgment hall. And the Bible says this, and the Jews accused him of many things. Watch this. And he answered them not. And Pilate asked, hearest thou not all these things that they witness against thee? And answerest thou nothing? And Jesus answered not, so that Pilate marveled. You know, when people start speaking evil things against us, when people start accusing us of various things, when they start talking to other people about us, what's the first thing we want to do? We just want to react, don't we? I got to talk back. I got to defend myself. I got to put those people in their place. I got to let people know exactly what kind of people that it is talking about me. And off we go, running our yaps. And Jesus stood there in that judgment hall, and what did he do? He kept so silent that it called the ruler of the Jewish or the Roman people in that town to marvel, didn't it? You see, you and I have to be able to develop self-control. Rule number 5, folks, fulfill your obligations, whatever they might be. You and I wake up and we're in all kinds of roles, we're in all kinds of positions, we're in all kinds of responsibilities, aren't we? And guess what? We need to make up our mind the minute we wake up that I'm going to do everything I possibly can do to fulfill my obligations to everyone that I have obligations to today. That's a toughie. The greatest example that we have is a man by the name of Jesus. Did you know that? Folks, from a young age, Jesus set his mind to do what he's supposed to do. There at the temple, what did he tell his mom? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Luke 2:49. He grows up. He's now in his earthly ministry, and he speaks these words in John 4, verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus prays what is known as his high priestly prayer in John the 17th chapter. And in verse 4, he makes this statement. Father, I have glorified thee. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Hanging upon the cross of Calvary. One of the statements that Jesus uttered was this, it is finished. Here was an individual who understood what God wants me to do, and I'm going to fulfill every obligation, every demand, every command that God has given me to complete. And he did. And you and I need to be exactly the same way. I've taken on responsibilities as a husband or wife. I've taken on responsibility as a student. I've taken on responsibilities as a parent. I've taken on responsibilities as a worker. I've taken on responsibilities as a team player. Whatever it might be. Whatever the responsibilities that you have taken on, you get up that day and you tell yourself, I will fulfill every obligation, every responsibility that I can to the utmost of my ability. Folks, leave nothing undone if possible. Now listen to me. You need to remember that if you're a Christian, you have responsibilities to the body of Christ. And God expects you to fulfill those obligations to your brothers and sisters as well. Isn't it funny how we think we have to fulfill obligations out here in the secular world? Well, I got to be to work. I got to be to work on time. I got to put in my 40 plus hours, 50 hours. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then when it comes to our spiritual lives and our Christian obligations, we act as if those are all optional matters, don't we? And folks, they're not. They're serious, God-given obligations that you and I need to fulfill. Rule number 6. Gain just a little more knowledge of God's Word today. Just a little bit more. In Ephesians 1 verse 17, the Apostle Paul tells the church at Ephesus that I'm praying for you. And I find it interesting what he prays for. He says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. If there were anything that Paul desired for all the churches, it was for every church to gain more and more and more knowledge of the Word of God. And that ought to be my desire, hadn't it? I got to thinking about ways we could acquire some knowledge. And I just listed just a few. And none of these are that difficult to do. Number one, read several different texts in the pages of God's Word every day. Don't just pick up the Bible and read Psalm 23. Oh, there we go, Psalm 23. That's my favorite. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Just read that, set it down. No. Read a little bit in several different places. There are some Bibles that are what are called one-year Bibles that take you through the entirety of the Bible in 1 year. A little bit in the Old Testament, a little bit in the New Testament, a psalm or two every day, and maybe a few passages out of Proverbs every day. Folks, what a wonderful reading that is. Notice point number two, memorize a passage of Scripture every day. I realize that in a week or two from now, you're going to forget what you memorized 2 weeks ago. Happens to me all the time. But guess what? The passage that I memorized today, I can think about all day, can't I? And here's what's funny. Every now and then, a passage sticks. I don't have to memorize that one anymore. I got it. And sometimes there's some wonderful things found in that passage. Something happens to me that very day that applies to that passage of Scripture. Memorize the Word of God. Point number three, outline a text. It can be a verse. It can be two or three verses. It can be an entire chapter. Most of you in this audience have absolutely no excuse. You've memorized, you have outlined the entire book of Genesis so you can do it. Because we did that the last time I was here. You see, that gets me to thinking about what's in that Bible, doesn't it? It causes me to put some titles on some things that I read about in Scripture. It's not just blind reading. It's thinking about what I'm reading. Notice the next one. Do an introduction to a book of the Bible. There's 66 books that you need to go and do introductions to, folks. It'll take you a lifetime. Because it's a challenge. You know that? When I open up the books and I start to do an introduction, guess what? I know I've got about 40 hours of study to do on every book. Now that's my introductions. That doesn't have to be your introductions. But folks, you'd be amazed at how it opens up what's in a book to do just a simple introduction. Read other books by good authors that have been written about the Bible. Get you some CDs, get you some DVDs. And folks, watch those, listen to those. Increase your Bible knowledge. Here's the key. To know more today than I knew yesterday. To not grow stagnant. And here's the real one. To not grow satisfied with what I think I already know. Don't do that. Rule number 7. Probably just let you think about it a minute. There's one that I hadn't mentioned. And folks, to me, it's one of the most important of all. How about that? You and I need to seek opportunities to evangelize every day, don't we? Every day. What was it that Jesus said? I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. That was Jesus' mission. It ought to be ours. It still baffles my mind to think about this, but it's true. Almost every person that I come in contact with every day is lost. Now that's overwhelming. It doesn't matter where I go. If I go to a convenience store, if I go to the gas station, if I go to Walmart, if I go to the park, if I'm walking down the street, if I go to the school, if I go to a concert, it makes no difference, folks. The bulk of the people that you and I come in contact with are lost. And somehow, some way, you and I need to find simple, easy ways to talk to individuals and open up some doors, don't we? One of the easiest questions that any of us could ask any person is this. Where do you attend church services? Is that very hard? I don't go. Oh, you don't? Well, guess what? I got a little calendar here to give you a schedule of our services, and I sure would like for you to come and visit with us sometime. Now, is that very hard? No. But you know what? We have to train ourselves to do that, don't we? Because it is harder than it seems. Jesus was sitting there on that well, and a woman walks up, and He just speaks a few words to her, doesn't He? Give me to drink. And opens up a spiritual conversation with that woman about spiritual water, doesn't He? You see, we need to find ways that you and I can open up doors and talk to individuals about the gospel. And invite those individuals to come visit us, come see us, come be a part of what we have to offer, folks. What did Jesus say? Every branch in me beareth what? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. John 15, verse 5. Conclusion. If you go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow, guess what? You will live through the day, won't you? You're going to face whatever comes your way. And you and I need to wake up and we need to develop rules. Develop a plan on how we're going to meet that day. And I've given you 7 rules. Now I've taken what? 30 or 40 minutes to describe them? Folks, if you've written them down, you can read through them in about 30 seconds. Did you know that? But here's what's interesting. If you and I will develop a plan, if you and I will make ourselves ready to meet the day, it's going to accomplish many, many things. Number one, I'm going to live for Jesus, and that's what I want to do, isn't it? Number two, it's going to cause me to set an example for other individuals. Number three, I'm going to come to the end of the day having 0 regrets. Isn't that what you want to do? I don't want to get to the end of the day and go, you know, this hasn't been a good day. I've done some things. I've lived in such a way that's not been right. It's better to close your eyes and lay your head upon your pillow and know that I've lived a good day for the Lord. And lastly, it causes me to live my life well. I don't know about you, but that's the way I want to live life, isn't it? I want to live it well. Psalm 90 verse 12 was penned by Moses according to the Jews. The text says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You and I don't have many days. Did you know that? And one of these days, we're going to wake up and there is no more day. But I can choose right now how I will live today. And when I wake up tomorrow, I can choose how I'm going to live tomorrow. Simple rules for daily living in your life. It's very difficult to live a good life if you're lost. Did you know that? Just can't hardly do it, can you? Can you imagine ending your day, going to sleep, not knowing whether you'll arise tomorrow, and yet there's 0 hope because you're lost? And yet the Bible gives us opportunity to be saved, doesn't it? Jesus told His disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now listen to Him. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." There's the simple plan of salvation, isn't it? Believe the gospel. And all of that belief culminates in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus says, if you'll do that, you will be saved. Have you done that tonight? We invite you to do so. Maybe you're an erring Christian. Maybe you haven't exhibited Christ in your life. Maybe you haven't developed a positive plan of Christian living. Maybe your life has been more of a disdain upon Christ rather than a glorification of Him. Do you need to ask God to forgive you? Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?